Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We trust you. And we love you. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness so that we can be worthy for the kingdom. But none of this would be possible without your Son and the sacrifice he paid for all of us. Thank you for blessing us with the desire to please you and to make you smile. Thank you for giving us the latter rain, the faith that moves mountains, and the character of Jesus. Thank you for giving us opportunities to share our faith and to see your hand move and to see our prayers answered. Thank you sometimes for answering no to our prayers because we don't know what it is we ask for. But thank you for giving us what we need and always being there for us and keeping that hedge of angels around us. And thank you for blessing us each week with a day that we can kick back and relax, forget about our life, our troubles, our jobs, or whatever, and just concentrate on you, our Creator. Thank you for giving us the Sabbath and for changing the showbread each and every Sabbath and blessing us with new opportunities to go into the Word and understand it more. Thank you for blessing all those that are on our prayer list that are in need, whether it be physical, spiritual, or financial blessings. We thank you for giving them what they need. And for those that help us do this work, we pray you bless them the way you've been doing, physically, spiritually, and financially. And thank you again for your Spirit that guides us to all truth. And for all these things, we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Hold on, let me get some water. It's been way on since last night. I don't know, maybe it's the chemtrails. Okay. Thank you, Bonnie, or whoever changed the page here. I actually redesigned the page so that now when I hit the control button and scroll up, it actually gets a little bigger. Now I can read it easier. For those of you listening on the radio, we're in Ministry of Healing, page 388. This chapter, I guess it's chapter 33, is based on, well, it's a few things. But it starts off with home influences. It says, the home should be, to the children, the most attractive place in the world, and the mother's presence should be its greatest attraction. Children have sensitive, loving natures. They are easily pleased and easily made unhappy. By gentle discipline and loving words and acts, mothers may bind their children to their hearts. Young children love companionship and can seldom enjoy themselves alone. They yearn for sympathy and tenderness. That which they enjoy, they think will please mother also, and it's natural for them to go to her with their little joys and sorrows. The mother should not wound their sensitive hearts by treating with indifference matters that, though trifling to her, are of great importance to them. Oop, hold on, the radio just fell out. We're going to get rid of DSL this week, by the way. There's no reason to have it anymore. So I'm going to try and figure out a way to get the radio and, you know, the radio to be on the same network. Anyway, welcome back, WTPR. Sorry about the fallout. But the thing with the, it's natural for them to go to her with their little joys and sorrows. We all know, like a little kid gets a boo-boo, they run to mommy and daddy, usually mommy. But, you know, like when they draw something or they get a good grade on their school paper or whatever the case may be, they always go and show it. Well, usually, most often. And because they want their parents to be proud of them. She goes on to say that the mother should not wound their sensitive hearts by treating with indifference matters that, though trifling to her, are of great importance to them. And I repeated that because this is those little joys and sorrows. Keep in mind, this is a small human, very young in experiences. You know, we've gone through all these experiences all throughout our lives, and, you know, we're used to this and used to that. And a lot of people, it's sad, but some parents are pretty unfeeling or unloving in some ways, where it's, you know, the kid comes up with wonderful news to them because it's the first time it's ever happened to them in life, and the parents treat it with indifference, and it kind of hurts the heart. You know, anyway, she goes on to say, her sympathy and approval are precious. An approving glance, a word of encouragement, or commendation will be like sunshine in their hearts, often making the whole day happy. Instead of sending children from her that she may not be annoyed by their noise or troubled by their little wants, let the mother plan amusement or light work to employ the active hands and minds. By entering into their feelings and directing their amusements and employments, the mother will gain the confidence of her children. And she can the more effectively correct wrong habits or check the manifestations of selfishness or passion. And one of the blessings of being a Christian, you know, and a Christian parent and married to a Christian parent is the hedge of angels. And it helps us to check those manifestations of selfishness or even passion, because a lot of times the children will do something we aren't aware that they're doing. And but the Holy Spirit knows our love for our children and how dangerous the path is that the child is on. And if the household is one that's doing all they can to get as close to Christ as they can, the angels are going to find it a joy to be in the household. And the child will get caught. There will be situations where the parents will find out about it. And sometimes the angels will even guide, because we were talking about this last night, the angels will even guide the wicked to bring the information to the parents' view. Now, they might be doing it just out of spite and saying, you know, because they hate Christians and look what your kid's doing kind of a thing. But that's an answer to the parents' prayer, though. They may think it's all a big embarrassment, but to the parent, it's like, praise the Lord, we found out about this in time. So, and a lot of this, of course, lands on the mother because she's there with the child more often than the dad. And so the angels will reveal things to her a lot because of, you know, and gives her the opportunity to check those manifestations of selfishness or even passion. And passion can be just about anything. There's all sorts of things that the devil will make children passionate about in the world today. And it's sad. Some of the most disgusting things that he introduces to them, and he makes them look cool or fun without realizing that they've just been enticed by something that in the end is the most disgusting lifestyle known to man. You know, it's really, really sad how some kids get tricked at a very early age had it not been checked. You know, it would have saved them, you know, a lot of grief. Going on, a word of caution or reproof spoken at the right time will be of great value. By patient, watchful love, she can turn the minds of the children in the right direction, cultivating in them beautiful and attractive traits of character. Mothers should guard against training their children to be dependent and self-absorbed. Never lead them to think that they are the center and that everything must revolve around them. Some parents give much attention and much time and attention to amusing their children, but children should be trained to amuse themselves, to exercise their own ingenuity and skill. Thus, they will learn to be content with very simple pleasures. And I got to attest to that too, because I remember when I was a kid, you didn't have the video games, you didn't have a lot of the things that the kids have opportunity of today. And praise the Lord, some of the poorer families out there that can't buy their kids PlayStation 2 or 3 or the Wii or whatever these video games are. That, because the child is brought up with a way to find enjoyment using their own imagination and the simple pleasures, as Sister White is saying here. And they don't get tempted into other areas and have that constant mind-numbing desire to be entertained. TV is infamous for this. This is why you see a lot of kids today talking like this. They'll go, so how are you doing today? you know, I want to know, I mean, every other word is you know, it's because they can't think for themselves. They're watching TV and they're thinking for someone else. They found, they did some research on this a while ago, and they found this is one of the reasons teenagers and even adults that sit in front of the TV all day have problems with, you know, contemplating their next thought. And a lot of the ums or just, you know, dragging their words out slow, you know, that kind of thing. And because if you sit in front of a TV or a video game, it's going to get you to work parts of the brain that aren't necessarily that much needed to be worked. I mean, they could be worked by walking around in the woods and looking at trees rather than looking. But when you watch a play on TV, because that's all it really is someone acting out a play, and an actor is nothing more than a liar. You start to jump into their lifestyle, and then you're directed to think this thought and that thought and this thought because you've now got caught up in the plot and you're being entertained. They're giving you their imagination and what to think next. And it cripples the mind. It's very dangerous. She goes on to say that they should be taught to bear bravely their little disappointments and trials. Instead of calling attention to every trifling pain or hurt, divert their minds. Yeah, yeah, TV's directly, yeah, definitely a way to hypnotize. And that is, and it works too. I mean, stop here for a minute. I can remember when the kids were little, we used to do this, and it was just so wrong to do, but we did it. And a lot of parents do this. The kids acting out, or you know how some kids are, they're kind of hyper. And this is another thing that bothers me about public schools. If a kid is hyper, that's because he's got a lot of energy. That's normal for a kid, okay? But they want to put him on Ritalin or some other, you know, psychotropic drugs or something to try to calm the kid. Why? Because the teacher's got 40 kids in the classroom, and you can't control the classroom because two or three of them are bouncing off the walls. The classrooms are designed in a way that you should have five or six teachers, but you got one. And so that's how they, you know, they'll use drugs, of course, to calm the kids down in that respect. But at the home, a lot of the parents will just turn the TV on and put the kid in front of it, and the kid will zone out, almost catatonic. I mean, if you've ever seen someone catatonic, with that, like, because I knew people that ended up in like mental institutions when we used to do street preaching, and every now and then we would go into these mental institutions and talk to them. You know, it's not everybody that, you know, goes into a mental institution that are wall lickers. You know, they're all, you know, some of them are in there because they try to commit suicide. I don't care how sane or normal you act. If you try to commit suicide, you're going to end up in a mental institution. And so you go in there and you talk to them, and you see some of these people that are literally catatonic, and they're drug-induced catatonics. You know, like the one guy I saw the one time, he was just sitting there, and his tongue was just hanging out, and he was staring into space. Because I guess he acted out the day before, is what I heard. And to calm him down, they gave him some drug that just turned him into a zombie. He has the same expression on his face that a kid has when they're staring at the TV set. They're just like, everything's just being pumped into the head, and it's so dangerous. It takes away from those simple pleasures. And it also tempts them to want things that the parents can't afford, for example, like the PlayStations or the Nike shoes or the Rolex watches or the Armani suits, whatever the case may be. They're watching TV, and everybody on TV is loaded up with all this stuff, and they're thinking, well, why am I wearing this, you know? And they look at mom and dad as lowlifes or trailer trash or whatever, you know? And I got to tell you, the term trailer trash, too, that's just, people have been teasing people ever since the schoolyards. That is a very hateful term, the way they term people. Have you seen trailers nowadays? They're beautiful on the inside, but still they still coin that phrase. But it's amazing how the devil has gotten every method that he comes up with every method that he can. Let me get the radio back in. There goes the upstairs computer. Yeah, there's no reason to have the assault. It keeps doing this every week. But anyway, getting back. Welcome back there, WTPR. Sorry about that again, but hopefully this will not be an issue anymore. All right. Continuing, they should be taught to bear bravely their little disappointments and trials. Instead of calling attention to every trifling pain or hurt, divert their minds, teach them to pass lightly over little annoyances or discomforts. Study to suggest ways by which the children may learn to be thoughtful for others. But let not the children be neglected. Burdened with many cares, mothers sometimes feel that they cannot take time patiently to instruct their little ones and give them love and sympathy. But they should remember that if their children do not find in their parents and in their home that which will satisfy their desire for sympathy and companionship, they will look to other sources where both mind and character may be endangered. And that has a lot to do with some of the fringe that the world has to offer. And it's really difficult, I got to tell you, and because I'm a parent with teenage children, and well, I've been a parent with teenage children for 20 years, 30 years now. Yeah, well, 20 years, because maybe the first 10 years they were teenagers, of course. But there's not a lot out there for our kids in the way of companionship. And so, especially with being in a small remnant church as we find ourselves strategically placed within, because the Lord has us where he needs us to be, and we are scattered so far and wide so that we can be that much more effective for him in this end time, you know, present truth that we find ourselves sharing with as many as we possibly can. And and this is why we meet online for church, because there's just no churches near us that believe as we do. And with that said, there aren't any kids nearby that your kids can have as friends. And so I mean, I reach out to you parents, how do you do it? And it's not easy, you know, when the kid doesn't have a friend. But praise the Lord, like for in our case, for example, we have a lot of children, so our kids have a built-in friend base, if you will, that they can trust to some extent, because even your own kids can go off on the endangered path and lead your other kids away as well. I know I was infamous for doing that in my family, because I was the leader when it came to certain, well, just, you know, I was the oldest guy, so my brothers just would do whatever I said. And that's dangerous for, but that, you know, that's going to happen. But praise the Lord for that hedge of angels. Continuing, she says, for lack of time and thought, many a mother refuses her children some innocent pleasure while busy fingers and weary eyes are diligently engaged on work designed only for adornment, something that at best will serve only to encourage vanity and extravagance in their young hearts. Now, keep in mind, she's talking about this way back in the day before they even had televisions. And I think theaters were just starting out back then. That's why she spoke of, when she talked about TVs in her day, she called them theaters in your home. You know, she saw, of course, that in the future people would be entertained by theaters in their home. All she saw back then was the big old silver screen, and, you know, people would have issues with that in the future, and as we could see today. If you've ever read that page on my website called, what was the page? It was all about TV. The television is being used by the enemies of, you know, of Christianity, both in the physical as well as the spiritual world, to destroy the hearts and minds of millions or billions. But yeah, meeting the devil, yeah. It's a true story. It's actually a story that was shared many years ago in a Seventh-day Adventist church, from what I understand. It's pretty scary, too, when you think about it. And it's very shocking. A lot of people think, oh, this is fiction. This is, no, that stuff actually happened. And a lot of people don't believe when you talk about certain things like manifestations, if you will. But before I was a Christian, I used to mess with stuff like that. You know, I used to delve in manifestations, or they would call them today conjuring, or ghosts, whatever. We seem to be getting a lot of fallout here, too. It looks like we're having some problems in the internet in general. Yeah, just because it's If it was on my end, everybody would fall out. You know, so it's not. But I'll, still, let me lower the bandwidth just to give it that little extra help. I'm knocking the bandwidth down to 8 kilobits per second for when I speak. So, because I'm not doing any music right now, so it's not going to sound that much different for you or the radio. So, all right, continuing. Welcome back, everybody that's falling out. All right, so continuing, it says, as the children approach manhood and womanhood, these lessons bear fruit in pride and moral worthlessness. The mother grieves over her children's faults, but does not realize that the harvest she is reaping is from seed which she herself planted. Some mothers are not uniform in the treatment of their children. At times they indulge them to their injury, and again they refuse some innocent gratification that would make the childish heart very happy. You know, it's kind of like a oxymoronic message, if you will, or a two-faced method of approach. You know, like the mother may be a Christian, not realizing in some areas in her life she has some issues, and those issues are brought onto the children as completely acceptable because mom's doing it. And but other parts of the area, she's very strong in her Christian walk. You know. And praise the Lord that the Lord winks at our times of ignorance. And so she's not going to be held accountable for sins that she's committing, even though she, because she doesn't know it. Just like with any of you or me or any of us. There's sins that we're all doing on a daily basis we don't even know. But our God is very loving. And he's not just our God. He's not just our Heavenly Father. I was, like yesterday in the midday prayer, I was amazed at about, I says, you know, Father, okay, you are, you know, God, you know, and the kind of God like where an angel speaks your name, the angel stops dead in his tracks, covers his face with his wings, and speaks your name. That's the God you are. You are also our Heavenly Father. And not, and it doesn't even end there. You're also our Daddy. It's not just Heavenly Father, you know, the authority figure that we have that's a loving authority figure. You're Daddy, too. I mean, your own son called you Abba. And Abba is a term of endearment, like Daddy. And then we have Jesus Christ, God the Son, who even walked a mile in our shoes. And so for all intents and purposes, we can look at him as our brother at the same time as our God because of the way he walked. He showed us how we can do this by walking in the same bodies we have. He didn't cheat. You know, he didn't cheat when he walked on water. He didn't cheat when he raised the dead. And he didn't cheat. You know, he did the exact same things we can do, and he proved it when he left and he sent into heaven, and the apostles followed after him and were doing the things that he did. And when the latter rain falls, and it's already started falling, by the way, Jesus clearly said that we'll do even more. Because the latter rain falls more abundantly than the early rain fell on Pentecost. Finishing up this section, she says, in this, they do not imitate Christ. You know, when the mother gives like a two-faced message, she says, in this, they do not imitate Christ. He loved the children. He comprehended their feelings and sympathized with them in their pleasures and their trials. Now, this, of course, is a woman that, a mother that may know. I'm assuming, by the way, she's wording this, that the woman may know, okay, this is things that I shouldn't be doing, and but she's going to do them anyway, just for the sake of either shutting up the kid or I love my kid, I want to give him a candy bar kind of a thing. You know, if my kid wants to do that, I love my kid no matter what. Well, yeah, so do I. But you can't sit there and say, oh, I love you, and I agree with your lifestyle. He says, I love you, but I cannot condone what you do. You know? But anyway, let's end it here because we've only got... Well, it depends on which computer screen I'm looking at here. My clocks are messed up, so because if I start this next one, this one's kind of long, and I'll be able to finish it in time. So, with that, I'll say we'll be right back, and we'll start the church service here in a minute.